precious saints, will you stand with me? Let's turn to Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, truly, Lord, we're grateful, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and for the privilege, Lord, of standing before you again, Lord. Lord, we're so grateful that you are mindful of us to come in the midst of your children. Father, we ask that you inhabit the praises of your people, Lord, as we lift up our hearts, our voices in song, Lord, to praise the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask that you anoint each and every vessel here, Lord, that you may be glorified amongst your people. We do love you, we praise you, we thank you, we ask, Lord, that you continue to bless those who are on their way with traveling mercies, Lord. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for all things that you accomplish this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's coming my way. It's a season of power and authority. It's a new season and it's coming to me. Let's pick it up. It's a new season.
How many believe that?
It's a new day. Fresh anointing is flowing my way. It's a season of power and authority. It's a new season and it's coming.
Come on, let's say it again.
It's a new season. It's a new day.
Set a fresh anointing, yeah.
Palms are flowing my way. Yeah. It's a season of power and authority.
Fresh anointing and it's flowing my way. It's a season of power and authority. It's a new season and it's coming, coming to me. Say, it's a new season. A fresh anointing, oh, and it's flowing my way. It's a season of power, anointing. It's a new season, yeah, and it's flowing to me. One more time. It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new day. We have a fresh anointing, yes, and it's flowing my way. It's a season of power, and a door. Amen. Aren't you glad for that new season? We need change. Praise the Lord. It's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you on this rainy day. I pray that the Lord will rain down his presence in the midst of us. Amen. Let's sing this little song together.
Face in all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than for a song in itself is not what you have required. No, 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 no. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless day worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Oh Lord, though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath.
Hallelujah.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Hallelujah. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Say, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, when it's all about. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, yes. When it's all about you, say, I'm coming back
I'm coming back to the heart. Yeah, and it's all about you. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, when it's all about you, when it's all about you, Jesus, it's all about you, it's all about you, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, it's all about. It's all about you. It's all about you. Oh, you say it's all about. It's all about you. Yes. My Lord, it's all about. One more time, it's all about you. It's all about you. Say it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, clap your hands, all ye people. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, come on, say, it's all about. Say, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it. When it's all about you, yes, it's all about you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Here's my worship. Take joy in it. Make it your dwelling place. I wanna put a smile on your face. I present my heart to you. I present my life to you. Let's sing it again. Here's my worship. Take joy in it. Make it your dwelling place. I wanna put a smile on your face.
I present my heart to you. I present my life to you. Here's my my worship. Here's my life, Lord. My worship's mine. Here's my life, Lord's mine. One more time. Here's my worship's mine. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Say, better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Say, better is one day. Say, better is one day. Say, better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Say, better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Say, better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day. Better is one day.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have a few specials this morning. Amen. You may have your seat. Sister Wisdom, will you come? God bless you, Sister Wisdom.
God bless you. The inspiration for this song came one day when I was sitting in service, and the words of the song comes from Revelation 22, 16 through 18. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Jesus sent his angel to testify to you. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. No matter who you are, oh, no matter who you are, just stop and hear the testimony of the Lord. No matter who you are, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Jesus sent his word to everyone. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. No matter where you go, oh, no matter where you go, just stop and listen to the word of the Lord. No matter where you go, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Jesus sent his angel to testify to you. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. No matter who are, oh, no matter who you are, just stop and hear the testimony of the Lord. No matter who you are, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Jesus sent his word to everyone. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. No matter where you go, oh, no matter where you go, just stop and listen to the word of the Lord. No matter where you go, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Jesus sent his angel to testify to you. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. No matter who you are, oh, no matter who you are, just stop and hear the testimony of the Lord. No matter who you are, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Jesus sent his word to everyone. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. No matter where you go, oh, no matter where you go, just stop and listen to the word of the Lord. No matter where you go, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Sister Wisdom. Surely appreciated that. Sister Charisse, will you come? Praise the Lord. God bless you.
He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Oh, I think about
Aren't you grateful for his love? Amen. I'm so glad we didn't have to merit his love. Such grace. Such grace. Praise the Lord. We have a praise report this morning. It's from Brother Josue. It says, just want to thank the Lord for opening my eyes to him and giving me all I need. That's his grace and mercy. And he has a scripture, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. That's that love for us right there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's certainly good to have mama in the house this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I call her Sister Mama. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Leroy, God bless you. You going to be 24 tomorrow? Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Leroy. Amen. His birthday is tomorrow, the 24th. Also, Brother Jeffrey. Praise the Lord on the 26th. Praise the Lord. Sister Linda Alexia. She is knocked out, but her birthday is Friday. Praise the Lord. The baby of the church. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Pinnacle Palm service today at 5:30. Also, the combined services tonight at 6:30 at Rapture and Faith Tabernacle. The brothers' prayer meeting will be Tuesday at 7:30. Will you stand to your feet? We're going to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up the tithing and offering.
It's a blessing.
on it. Oh, I believe, yes, I believe the word of God, I receive. It's a gift of God to you. Nothing else can compare to you. It's a blessing with your name on it. Oh, it's a gift of God to you. Nothing else can compare to you. It's a blessing with your name on it. It's a gift of God to you. Nothing else can compare to. It's a blessing with your name on it. It's a gift of God to you. Nothing else can compare to. It's a blessing with your name on it. Say, I believe. I believe the word of God. I believe. Yes, I receive the word of God. I receive.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You may have your seats. We have one more special this morning. God bless you, Sister Burrs. Will you come? Praise the Lord.
God bless you, saints. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the lane or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the road an object of his care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air. Surely, remembers me. Oh, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountains bleed, or on the raging sea, the billows roll, He keeps my soul. Oh, my heavenly Father watches over me. Said I trust in God, for in the lion's den, on battlefield, or in the prison pen, through praise or blame, through blood or flame, my heavenly Father watches over me. Oh, I trust in God. Saints, I know He cares for me. On mountains bleed, or on raging sea, the billows roll, my Jesus keeps, He keeps my soul. See, my heavenly Father watches over me. The valley may be dark, the shadows deep, but the shepherd, He guides His lowly sheep. And through the gloom, He'll lead me home. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. My heavenly Father watches over me. Say, I trust in God. Hallelujah. Saints, I know He cares for me. He's already proven it. On mountains bleed, or on raging sea, still my Jesus, He keeps my soul. Oh, my Heavenly Father, through the gloom, through the hurt, through the pain, through the joy, on the mountain, in the valley, my Heavenly Father, watches over. over me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad his eyes on the sparrow? Amen. His eyes on us. Praise the Lord. My God, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing this little song together as our pastor comes this morning.
In the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Say, Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle, promise keep. Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you.
Come on again, Waymaker. Hallelujah, say, yeah, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. Yes, he is. Say, and we declare this morning, Waymaker, miracle worker. Oh, yeah, light in the darkness, my God, there. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Waymaker. Oh, hallelujah, light in the, yeah, that is who you are. Come on, somebody, lift your voice to heaven, say, oh, yeah, light in the darkness, oh my God, that is who you are. We declare it, that's who you are, Waymaker, yeah, oh, light, my God, that is,
you are. Oh, my God, that is who you are. Yes, you are, Jesus, my God. That is who you are. Come on, one more time. My God, my God, my God. That is who you are. Come on, let's give him praise. Bless the name of Jesus. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just, you can be seated just for a moment. You know it, you know, she just burst out in song. And, you know, everybody, I don't know if everybody knew it, but she just said, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. I'm going to tell you something. You're sitting there in a moment like that, and you're just trying to find the right words to say to the family and just the right words in prayer, and you hear somebody just declaring who God is in the midst of their loved one passing away, it just does something on the inside of you. And just the whole anointing in the room just began to change, and the family just declaring that he's a way maker, he's a miracle worker. No matter what the outcome, our God is a miracle worker. He's light in the darkness. That is who he is. I said, man, this is all right. This is all right. Glory to God. That song meant a lot this morning. And amen. I just thank God for it. Say, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Oh, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. We declare it today, God, Waymaker, miracle worker, oh, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, that's what we say, Waymaker, miracle worker, yes, light in the darkness, oh, that is who. Come on, sing it one more time, one more time. He's a way maker, miracle worker. Oh, my God, that is who you are. Just a voice is lifted this time. Everybody lift your voice to heaven and say, way maker, miracle worker. Yeah. Oh, yeah, my God, that is who you are. Oh, everybody say, oh, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Somebody give him praise in this place. Oh, somebody worship him. Jesus. Jesus. I know Sister Keisha, that she listens, you know, to gospel and things like that, but I think coming to church on last Sunday, and at the end of the service we began to sing that song. I believe God put that in her spirit, and she just, you know, left through the week and had that in her spirit and just began to just declare that right at that very, very special moment. I just thought that was just something very beautiful, you know, just hearing that. And you know, Brother Darryl, there's much, you know, that could be said, and I'm sure that many, you know, will have a lot of things to say, but I will say this. God remembers your kindness to the bride. God remembers your kindness to the bride. And there was a time not many people even noticed, my first time probably even sharing it with you, but one of the family homegoing services that I had to preach, and I can't remember exactly whether it was Mother Tillman or if it was Brother Brown, I'm not sure. But I remember after the service, I was just at the house with the family, and Brother Darryl walked up and shook my hand. But when he shook my hand, he had something in his hand, shaking my hand. And he just said, "I just appreciate you." Just gave it to me and just moved on. Didn't say a word, and I never said a word, just said thank you. But I'll tell you what, God remembers that. And that what you do unto the least of these, my little ones, you've done unto me. So church, I'm encouraged. And I like to say that Brother Darryl got drafted. He got drafted. Amen. We just thank the Lord. Keep the family in prayer. We'll get information to you as more is released. They talked about, they gave Sister Linda's number. So please make sure as a church we give Sister Linda a call to let her know that we're supporting her, praying for her. If you can stop by the house and do that, your face, amen, just showing up and showing your face, it means a lot. It really means a lot at a time like this. And as we get more information, I know it'll be a couple weeks from now before the service, amen, a couple weekends we're looking at. So, but as we approach that, we'll be looking to take food to the family as a church and, you know, do all the things we need to do just to show our love, amen, and our compassion to them during this time. So we'll give you more information as the days approach, and I'll just ask that everyone just try to make yourself available, amen, so that we can do all we can to show them how much we love them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Want to say I appreciate the specials, amen, that went forth this morning. Sister Wisdom, and Sister Cherise, Sister Burrs, amen. God richly bless you. I was trying to get out there to, I had it planned to go to Okeechobee, but the Lord changed, you know, things yesterday, so I wasn't able to make it. Did any of the saints, I know Sister Burrs made it, any other saints make it out? All right, praise the Lord. Glad y'all was able to make it. Did y'all enjoy yourself? All right, well, that's good. Good to hear. We got one more tonight, amen, at the combined services, amen, at Brother Wesco's, and we'll be looking forward to that after Pinnacle Palms. And, you know, but please, let's do all we can just to also provide our support to the family, amen, during this time. I want to read a couple scriptures, just a little something that the Lord had placed in my heart. I've been dealing with this thought for a little bit, and I've just a couple things that happened this week, and, you know, I felt that it was necessary for me to kind of go down this path and go in this way, just kind of reestablishing truths. We already know these things, some of the things that I'll speak on this morning. But it's just reiterating and reestablishing these things. And for those that may have not heard it, maybe it'd be something that would, you know, just kind of help you along the journey. And I know that there are people that listen to, you know, us on the radio as well as on the internet. And we just want to bring truth to people. That's what the whole objective is, you know. I mean, because if you know the truth will make you free. Amen. It's the truth that does that. Amen. You can jump and shout, but if you ain't got no truth, you're not going to be anchored. The devil will bum rush you, beat you down. Right. So but we need to be established in truth. And so this morning we will be bringing out some things. Like I say, most of you will be familiar with this, but there might be others that are not. So, amen, it'll be, you know, it'll be necessary. Let's put it that way. It'd be needful and necessary. But let's read a couple scriptures. Amen. I want to read from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and then also from John chapter 13. We'll read from these scriptures and keep your Bibles close to you because later on in the sermon, I will pull a lot of scripture, amen, that we will go through. So praise the Lord. Amen. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 13 says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God, notice that, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Wait a minute. God was or Jesus was? Which one? I mean, God was received up into glory or was Jesus received up into glory? All right, we need to know these things. Amen. Hallelujah. I can tell you both of them was. God was received up and Jesus was received up. Why? Because Jesus is God. Glory. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. Amen. Over here to John 13. And let's just read a passage from there. Praise the Lord. Amen. John 13. I'll start at verse 1. This particular passage deals with the communion. Amen. This is a scripture that we use for communion, especially when it comes time to the feet washing portion of the service. Amen. And Jesus did this. And I'm always amazed by seeing the Creator. Amen. Come down to his creation and get so humble that he would wash their feet. Right. I mean, the same people that he created. Now, he's so humble that he comes down and he washes their feet. What a very special moment this was, seeing, you know, God do that. It just shows one of the attribute that was in God to want to be a father, right, and to want to have children, to want to be connected to his children. It shows this when we look at things like this in scripture. But here in verse 1, John 13 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So now we know Jesus was received up into glory. And now this scripture is telling us that Jesus is departing, going back to the Father. Okay. And it says here, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, right? The Bible goes on to say he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of the word. Now may the Holy Spirit come and help us to understand what it is that we have read. And may you, Father, get all the glory and all the honor out of this portion of the service. Thank you, God, for all that you have done. And we also, Lord, just want to take a moment to remember, amen, the Rudolph family in our prayers, that God, you would certainly strengthen them. Sister Linda is in need of you, and only you, God, can provide what she needs. Only you can give her the comfort. We all have words and things that we can try to share, but only people that have been there and done that can really understand, you know, what it's all about. And we know that if you're able to turn our mourning into dancing, then you can do the same thing for her. And as the song say, you're light in the darkness. So in this dark situation, Father, may somebody recognize Christ, and may they be drawn to the light of your grace in the midst of it. We know that you are God. We know that you're in control. We know that you don't make mistakes. And we declare you are still a way maker, a promise keeper. You're a miracle worker. You're all that. And we just appreciate you for who you are. So now bless us, God, as we enter into this thought today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'd like to use for our subject today, he came from God and went to God. Amen. He came from God and went to God. You know, when we just kind of think about these words that Jesus said, he says, I came from God. And in verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Also, when we read there in Timothy chapter 3, praise the Lord. Amen. We read there in Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And just trying to tie these things together, that's why I asked the question, say, now, the Bible says that God was received up into glory. And if we're taking it for what it is, we know that Jesus was the one that was received up into glory. So you have to, the question is asked, well, how can Paul write these words, you know, here in the book of Timothy, that that God was received up into glory? It's because Paul had a revelation that Jesus was God, right? It's not that we got three different gods. Amen. Jesus was God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I find this, I mean, to me, it's just very important. I was having a conversation with, you know, a couple different people this week. And, you know, one of the things that I was sharing, amen, with somebody was, you know, just on the thing of baptism and what that, you know, what that means. You know, and I was just kind of telling them, you know, when you get baptized, make sure you get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, so make sure it's done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I start walking them through the scripture. You know, I say, now, why would Jesus make the statement, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Ghost, you know. But then 10 days later, Peter comes along and he says, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, now, why would Peter say that? And I asked the question to one person, say, did Peter have it wrong? And they say, yeah, Peter had it wrong. I said, now, wait a minute, y'all say that Peter had it wrong, then now you're saying that the word of God is contradicting itself. And you think God put something in this scripture, right, that actually would allow people to, you know, feel like it was contradictory. God don't work that way. Amen. What happened is that Peter caught a revelation of who the Father was, who the Son was, and who the Holy Ghost was. And Peter said, baptized in the name was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and I was telling this person, I say, now, you know, say, be sure that they do this to you. Don't go down in the water if they're not going to do it that way. And they went down in the water and got baptized in the name, you know, in the name of Father, name of Son, name of the Holy Ghost. I say, now, let me give you an example here. Let me try to take this a little further. I say, I just arranged I got an agreement that I just signed, and it got our church name on it, and it's we established a little relationship with a hotel, a local hotel, and for the meetings that we're going to be hosting in June, we're saying, hey, if anybody calls in from that church and they need a room, and they call and put and ask for the name of the group name for the room rooms that are blocked, say, then they should get the special rate, but you got to know the group name. All right. I say, now you go down to that hotel. I just told you that I created this down there. Right. And say, now you go down to the hotel and you say, now I'm coming in the name of the pastor that got the group rate with your hotel, you know, in order to get that special rate. They're going to say, well, what pastor? Because we got a whole bunch of pastors that got group rates. What pastor? Well, since I don't know the name of the pastor, I'm coming in the name of the church. Right. That's that got a special rate with you. And they say they'll get a discount if you just use the name of the church. Well, what's the name of the church? Right. I mean, you just can't go down and say, I'm coming in the name of the pastor. I'm coming in the name of the church. You got to give the people specific information. Right. So when you go, you got to say, I'm coming in the name of Pastor Jack Duff, who represents Spirit and Truth Tabernacle that has a group rate. Can I get the rate that he's established in his name? Come on, your prayers ain't even going to be heard if you can't pray in the name of Jesus. If your prayers ain't going to be heard, then how you think your baptism going to be accepted if you can't be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah, somebody. We need to understand what his name is. Understand what Jesus was talking about. The church world has gotten so far off from these things. And, you know, and I was just, you know, I was telling another person this week, I said, you know, because they were telling me how, you know, God's been so good to them and done so much for them and delivered them from cancer and so many other things that God brought them back from. And, you know, I mean, close to death multiple times, but God kept bringing them back. And say, you know, even though they're serving the Lord and even had an experience with God as they were driving their car this week, they were saying how the Holy Spirit came down in the presence of the car and they just began to worship. So when by the time they got to work, they're like, man, I got to straighten myself up because I can't go in there like this. So they were trying to get themselves all fixed up in the car. I mean, we need more experiences like that. People get messed up on the way to work. You just thinking about the Lord, and you just sitting in the car crying because you thinking about the Lord. Now, in order to do that, you're going to have to turn the radio off. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. But this person that's sitting there in the presence of the Lord say they tried to compose themselves, and they walked through the door, amen, of the office, and as soon as they stepped in the door, they just broke out crying all over again. I say, what an experience. Say, but you know, I'm going through all that. Say, but I don't feel complete. And I say, okay, I understand. Say, I have all that, and I got this. I'm blessed financially. I got this, but I just don't feel complete. So I say, well, you know, the only way you're going to feel complete is as you begin to walk in the full truth. Amen. And they say, what you mean, walking in the full truth? I say, you know, you say the Bible say that ye shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. You're going to have to walk in the full truth in order to feel true, amen, completeness in Christ. And they say, now, what you mean? I say, well, okay, if you ask that question, I got to break it down. God sent a prophet. And that prophet came back with the restoration of the word of God. And until you can come back to that complete restoration of the word of God and stand in that, you will never be complete. So it's people listening to this on the radio right now, right? They listen to it. They don't feel complete. The reason they don't feel complete because they have not come to complete truth. Oh my, you're walking in that which is in part. But when that which is in part has been done away with, then that which is perfect has come. And you can walk in that church. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, you know, we realize that there's a reason, amen, that we follow the things that we follow, that we believe what we believe. God sent this so that we would find our way out of this the maze of Christendom, if I can just put it that way. It ain't nothing but a big maze, and we done run into a lot of dead ends, amen, and we have to turn around and go back the other way. But, you know, as we find our way through the maze, God has made a way through the word that's been presented to us. Now we can find our way out. Glory to God. I want to just kind of just keep working with this a little bit. He came from God and went to God. Now, Jesus makes this statement. You know, right at the time that he's having communion and feet washing with the disciples. And here, you know, we can now wait a minute. How could he say something like this? I came from God and I'm going to God. Now, the average church They have Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father. The average church got Jesus sitting on the right hand of the Father, and they leaving him there. Right? Now, the first thing I want to tell you is that God don't have right hand and left hand like we have it. We talking about God. God is a spirit. So when the Bible says sitting at the right hand of God, it's not talking about hands like ours. But it's talking about a place of power and authority. And that's why when you pray, you got to pray in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of the Father. Not in the name of the Son. Not in the name of the Holy Ghost. You got to pray in the name of Jesus. If you want to see results, ask the Father anything in my name. You had to know his name. Come on. Come on, somebody. You got to know his name. What is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? What is the name of the Holy Ghost? His name is Jesus Christ. All right, all right, all right. But he says this, I came from God. And I'm going back. I went to God, right? I come from God, now I'm going back to God. I went to God. He's given us, you know, these things. You're like, well, now, how did he come from God? How did he come from God, and how is he going back to God? And like I said, not just that. We know the scripture speaks of the right hand of power, you know, but I mean that Jesus is sitting at the right hand, but we know by revelation it's the right hand of power, right? It's a place of authority that Jesus sits. Amen. Amen. So now when we look at this, you know, just a little closer, amen, he says, I come from God. Well, where and how did he come from God? We have to go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis, you know, 1:1. And when you start just reading there in the book of Genesis, I've mentioned this multiple times, but I'll say it again. Say, when you look at Genesis, when he says, let there be light, that first light that came out was S-O-N, light. Hallelujah. Not S-U-N, light. Because when you read your Bible, you get down to the fourth day, you'll see that God made two greater lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. Anybody can recognize that that is the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night. Anybody can recognize that. Well, if the sun and moon did not come into existence until the fourth day, what came into existence when he said, let there be light? What came into existence then? See, we always looked at it as that was the S-U-N. I'm here to tell you this morning, no, that was the S-O-N. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, you don't believe it? Well, we got a person in scripture that tells us what that it was. And after Jesus had died, rose again, here we got a guy crucifying, I mean, actually wanting to kill Christians by the name of Saul. And he's on his road to Damascus. He's got letters in his hand. Anybody don't believe the way I believe? My, he gonna kill him. Right? So Paul got the letters in his hand, and Paul gets knocked off his high horse. And as he's knocked down off his high horse, here Paul has an experience that he places in the Bible. And Paul says, you know, he sees a great light. So that first S-O-N light was a great light. It could be seen. It could be identified. Not only that, it could speak back to you. Because Paul began to speak to the S-O-N light. This light that Paul saw was greater, brighter than the sun. Come on, church. It was brighter than the S-U-N. He was looking at the S-O-N. And as they began to conversate, Paul asked the question, who art thou, Lord? The light spoke back to Paul and says, I am Jesus. Well, that's the same light out of Genesis 1 when he said, let there be light. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's right there in the Bible. Glory to God. So we got to understand the light when he says, I come from God. You know, God was, if we can just give you a little picture here. God was not even God until he had something to worship him. He was Elohim, the self-existing one. He was all by himself. But trapped inside of God was some thoughts. Amen. Some attributes that wanted to be expressed. And it said the first thing I need is something to worship me. I can't even be God until I got something to worship. Well, he created angels. Angels came forth and they began to worship him. And that was real good, but God still has some more stuff in him that he wanted to release. And the only way he can get it released is that other things had to happen on this earth for that to occur. My God, let's just kind of pick this up. Glory, 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 glory. Amen, amen, amen. Let me just let me find something here. I'm gonna start with identified Christ of all ages. Glory to God. Amen. Just taking you on a little journey here. Glory, hallelujah. He says, now God is great like a great being. It says, in the beginning, God, see, he wasn't even God to begin with. God is an object of worship, and he was called, there was nothing to worship. He was self-existent Elohim, and there wasn't nothing to worship him. When he created angels, then there was something to worship him. But in this great God, Elohim was attributes. There was attributes in there to be God. There was attributes in there to be God. Attributes to be Father. Attributes to be Son. Attributes to be Savior. Attributes to be Healer. Now, you know this attribute that God wanted to be a son. Now, the average person, if I gave that to them, they say, well, that was manifested when Adam came forth. No, no, no. It wasn't manifested when Adam came forth. It was manifested when he said, let there be light. That's when the S-O-N came out. Hallelujah. That attribute was manifested when the S-O-N came out. And let me just go on a little further here so you can see what I'm saying here. It says there was attributes there to be God. Attributes to be Father. Attributes to be Son. Attributes to be Savior. Attributes to be Healer. All these attributes was in God. And if you've ever got eternal life, you were in God's attributes because you got eternal life. Jesus came as Redeemer. And redeem means bring it back to where it started from. Right? You were in God's thinking. He might have to breathe this with that and down here, like a man making chimes for the church, puts in so much brass and so much iron, gets it just right, just at the right pitch. The molder knows how to put it in. If he doesn't, he doesn't get the right ring. And what we're trying to do for the church is get the right ring. Amen. The right ring is talking about Jesus being God. Not having three gods, that's the wrong ring. We want to get the church back to the right ring. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got a little bit more that I want to read, amen, on this. I want to go questions and answers on Genesis. Praise the Lord. The prophet says this in questions and answers on Genesis. It says, now if God created man in his own image and in his own likeness, what kind of man did he create? He says, a spirit man. Now, if you'll notice, after he had made all the creation and created a spirit man, the close reading of this now, to be the one that's asked the question, we'll find this, that God give dominion of the cattle and the fishes and everything to the man, but in his making up there, he made man in his own image to lead the cattle, lead the beasts of the field, amen, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. So the first man that was made was a spirit man, right? So when I always like to say this, when you're looking at me, you're not really looking at the real me, right? There's something on the inside of me. Praise God. That was made in God's image. This right here ain't got nothing to do. This could have been made after animal's image. But what's on the inside of me has been made after God's image. And what's on the inside of me has to dominate what's on the outside of me. Listen. He says this, he says, he was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos. That's what I'm getting at right there. Out of God came the Logos. That's the S-O-N that came out of God. Out of God. So when he said, let there be light, out of God came the Logos. What was the Logos? It was a light, right? It was a light because God being a spirit, we wouldn't be able to identify him. So he had to go in a form that we could actually identify him. We could actually, you know, that's what the children of Israel saw that was leading them, that logos, that light. It was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's the same thing that Paul ran into on the road to Damascus. It was the logos. And if I could also be so bold, it's the same thing that took a picture with Brother Branham. When you see the halo over Brother Branham's head, that's the logos that came out of God. So unfortunate people get too mixed up on the prophet, but they fail to see the logos. Amen. The prophet is underneath the logos. Understand that the logos is above the prophet. Hallelujah. Amen. So we want to put emphasis on the logos. Who are we saying? I'm saying we put emphasis on Jesus because he is the logos. He's the one that came out of God, and he's the one that went back to God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen. It says the first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the logos, which was the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of the logos came forth the man. Out of the logos came forth the man. Just real quick, another statement that Brother Branham made. I won't pull this up. He just says, like God becoming God when he created angels, he becomes Son when he created Christ Jesus. He becomes Savior when Jesus died. He becomes healer when he was wounded for our transgressions. And with his stripes, we were healed. Those attributes were expressed at that time. Amen. He becomes husband when he's married to you. Oh, glory to God. Amen. God was not looking for a girlfriend. He wanted a wife. And he predestinated her. Oh, my. Before the world even began, before she even came to earth, she had a wedding band on. The wedding band of grace. Oh, my God, church. That's why the devil couldn't keep you. You never belonged to him in the first place. You always belong to God. Ooh, you come through this, come through that. Doesn't matter what you come through. You always belong to God. Amen. Amen. And see, the same way that Jesus could say, I come from God and I'm going back to God, we can say the same thing. Because we were attributes in his thinking. We come from God and we're going back to God. You know, I was telling somebody recently, you know, God thought about you so much. He thought about you so much that he created a man that would get an idea to create a chair. Because he knew that my wife wanted to sit on that chair. The whole company was established with you in mind. Oh, y'all don't get that. Y'all don't get it. Y'all don't get it. Whatever the name of your company is, the reason that they are established is because you work there. And God knew that that company would have to be used to supply your needs. The car that you drive, he had somebody design it, anointed them to design it. Because he had you in mind. He knew what you liked. Ooh, I'm telling you, every detail God knows. I mean, every wife wants her husband to recognize the details. Right? God knew your details. And everything on this earth was designed to bring, amen, to bring comfort to you. Oh, I just love them, church. I love them. Amen. I tell you what, when we think about some of these things, of what he come from God, he went to God. He come from God. Not only did he come, but we came from God, and we're going back to God. And if I could just put it this way, you can't be lost. Impossible. You know, this friend I was talking to this week, he said, I was here and I almost died with cancer. And I was here, almost died with this. And I was here and almost died. No, you couldn't. Until you come to, amen, understanding of who you are in Christ, you weren't going nowhere. Amen. Right? I mean, and as a young boy, he might have remembered certain things. But he was telling me, he said, man, I was just listening to the prophecy. Now, you got to come back to truth. And I say, now, what I mean by that, what really happened in the Garden of Eden? What really happened? He said, well, I was just listening to it this week, and I heard Brother Branham say, now you talk truth. Now you talking truth. Not what no theologians say. What did the prophet say about it? He said, I never heard these things in all my life. I said, yeah, you heard it. You just didn't remember it.
He said, but I heard Brother Branham say it was adultery. I say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now you're talking something. Because now we're going to ask, why are there two genealogies in the book of Genesis? Why does John say that Cain was of that wicked one? Why does the Bible say these things? We got to get back to truth. Now I'm going to tell you one thing. We can't get it right in Genesis. Ain't no way we're going to have it right in Revelation. Church, we're trying to bring the church back. Amen, amen. Y'all just bear with me here today. We on a journey, on a journey back. Amen. Even the Jews want to go back to their homeland. What about the church? Let's go back to what the scripture said. That is our homeland. Amen, amen, amen. Glory, glory, glory. All right, let me just go on a little further here. We realize, and as I was just sharing with him, you know, say the way that we get back to truth is we have to follow what a prophet said. I tell another young person, I say, you know, you get any Bible you want. You got Thompson Chain, you got Scofield, I got a Thomas somebody. I have to look at the beginning of it to try to find. But there's so many different manufacturers out there. Everybody got a Bible. But if you're not careful, you understand that the different manufacturers got different theologians that they agree with. So they are going to present the Bible in the way that they feel it should be presented. So there's certain scriptures you start going through and you just studying your Bible. You just studying, and then you get a scripture reference. And you see what the theologian put there, and you trace that reference. Sometimes it's spot on. Other times it's so far off, you're like, how in the world? What is that? Now, the only way you'll know that is if you're listening to the prophet. Then you start catching things. Because, see, Brother Branham said, after the seals were revealed, he said the Bible became a new book. So when you listen to the prophet, right, the Bible, it's, oh, my. The Bible will become a new book. You can't preach like the denominations preach. You can't do that. The Bible is a new book. You begin to see things, and that there's in my own Bible, I start seeing things. Say, wait a minute, that right there connect over here. And I go and I look, they don't have the reference, but I write the reference in myself because I know it's connected. I'm not a theologian, I'm just a bride. And I know what my husband is writing to me in this love letter. Oh, glory. But I was telling him, say, now see, Revelation 10:7 says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. The word of God come to a prophet. If we look at scripture, and especially the Old Testament, written by prophets, Isaiah, prophet, Jeremiah, prophet, Moses, prophet, Daniel, prophet. Right? I mean, you just name it. Many prophets that God used to write the Bible. Many prophets. So if God would use a prophet to write it, why wouldn't he use a prophet to interpret it? So why are we satisfied with a theological point of view? We ought to go back to what a prophetic view is. Now, don't get me wrong. Brother Branham did not come, amen, and interpret scripture for scripture for us. He didn't do that. But the Holy Spirit is here to interpret scripture for scripture for us. But we got to get in the same. We got to get on the same channel. That's it, bro. Oh, my God. Those of y'all that watch TV, if you want to watch a certain thing, you got to tune into the right channel. Amen. If you watch it on the internet, you got to go to the right website. If you want to get something from God, you're going to have to be in the right channel of inspiration to get it from God. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got to be in the right channel. And oh, my. That denomination is not the right channel. Amen. That denomination went off. It got fuzzy. And you hitting your rabbit ears. Glory to God. Amen. You ain't got to do that no more with this message. The picture become clear. From Genesis to Revelation, the picture is clear. Oh, my. Glory to God. Yes, it was adultery that happened in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Listen, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Here, Brother Branham makes some statements that I just want to pick up about mysteries. Amen. Is this the sign of the end, sir? Amen. He says some things here about mysteries. Now, when he picks this up, he's taking the notes of Dr. Scofield, and he's bringing that in to talk about mysteries. But then as he's bringing in Dr. Scofield notes, then he adds his own notes. So let's pick that up. Praise the Lord. Is this the sign of the end, sir? He says, now, let's note a few of these mysteries. And if you want to write them down first, because it says down the mysteries of God will be finished. So Brother Branham's now saying, what are some of the mysteries? What are some of these mysteries? Hallelujah. He says, now, let's note for a few mysteries. Let's note a few of these mysteries. And if you want to write them down, first I'll take what Scofield says here in Matthew 13. Not that he absolutely agreed totally with Scofield, but I'm going to take what Scofield says. Amen. He says, now, if you like to type some of them down, if you haven't got a Scofield Bible, you might read what he thinks. Oh, glory to God. You might read what he thinks some of the mysteries are. Now in the 11th verse, it says, he answered and said unto them, because it's given to you his disciples, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of God, mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now, before I go further there, I just got to inject something here. Just turn with me in your Bibles to John 16. John 16. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. John 16. And I want to start reading here at verse 25. We were just mentioning this on Wednesday night. To be an overcomer in the Philadelphian church age, you were placed, amen, as a pillar in the temple of God. And as being placed as a pillar meant that you were a part of the foundation, amen, holding up the superstructure, right? You were part of the foundation. he established and placed even, you know, what the prophet said and what the disciples were walking with. They were part of that foundation, right? So here, with you being an overcomer, you also be a part of the foundation, pretty much saying that the same revelation that they walked in is the same revelation that you'll walk in. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that if you are walking in this revelation with clarity, you are already an overcomer. If you're walking in this revelation with clarity, you are already an overcomer. And what I mean by that nobody can shake you. Take that pill out, this church, this building won't exist. Look. You got another website you want to put up? It will not impact me. It doesn't even matter. I mean, I'm not. When I first heard about them, I actually avoided them completely. I avoided them. You know why? I say I don't want to waste my time. I don't need to waste my time. Right? I mean, it's the same thing. When you try to give me another Bible outside of KJV, I'm not really going to read it. I'm not going to read it. Right? I mean, you know, especially when if I know they done took scriptures out of it, why are you going to give that to me? Oh, my God. Right? I mean, you know, let me just kind of inject just a little bit. Y'all just bear with me here. Nowadays, you know, people say, we've been also just talking about how there's a uniting happening. Right? The Catholics is uniting with the Protestants. This year represent 500 years of division with the Lutherans and the Catholics. The Lutherans are the first ones to break away, and everybody else followed suit. Right? But now the Lutherans, the Protestants, are coming back to the Catholics. Yes, sir. Joel Osteen got comments out there. Rick Warren got comments out there. Everybody saying things on how they're coming back together. And the Catholics say, yeah, we it's going to happen. We already talked about how we're going to get this thing settled. And what they're saying is that, you know what? It's just the core things that we need to agree on. I want you to hear that. It's the core things. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus rose again. Right? You got to be baptized. Which baptism? Because you know one of the visions was is that they baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the rest of the church believed Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the church started, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Catholics came along and they took it to Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now the church is saying we just gotta follow court. We just gotta agree on core things. The Lord told me, no. We ain't gotta agree on core things. We gotta agree on all the word. Not just part of the word. We gotta agree on all the word. And until you can become one with the word, then we'll never experience unity. All right. All right, John 16. This quote here just kind of brought this back to my attention, because he was quoting a scripture there about it's given to you, the disciples, it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them, but to them it is not given. But it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Here, John 16, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. Listen, at that day ye shall ask in my name. Oh, you got to know his name. Ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. I don't say I'm going to pray to the Father for you, right? Now, and here Jesus said, now, I'm not saying that I'm going to pray to the Father for you, almost separating the two, right? Here Jesus, being the Son, said, I'm not going to pray to the Father for you, almost separating the two, but you got to keep reading. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. Look how he slipped that in. Now, say, you believe that I came out from God. And it goes on, he says, I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now, as a disciple, you understand what he just said. But if you're not a disciple, that was very confusing talk to you. Oh, my. That was extremely confusing. Wait a minute, what you talking about, Jesus? You talk about, you know, you're not going to pray to the Father for us. And now you talk about you come from God and you're going back. What are you talking about? Well, the disciples knew that he was God. Peter said it. Peter, you know, he said, who do men say that I am? He say, some say Elias or Jeremiah, one of the prophets. That's what they say. Then he asks a very specific question. Say, well, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? He say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. That's why Peter could also come after the day of Pentecost and say, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he had a revelation of who the Father was, who the Son was, who the Holy Ghost was. Look at this. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father, and I am coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, says, do you now believe? Brother Branham said, just like he had a little look on his face. You finally got it. And that's what you want to tell the church. Do you get it? Did you finally get it? Jesus, Jehovah of the Old Testament, is Jesus of the New. Let's go on. Back to this quote. Okay, let's go back to this quote. Is this the sign of the end, sir? Says, and he answered and said to them, because it is given to you, his disciples, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to know them, but to them it is not given. The mysteries here is the mystery. Now he's given Schofield notes. Schofield notes. And he's saying, now, say, this is what Schofield thought the mysteries were. Let's go on. Says, now, the mysteries here, a mystery is scripture, is a previously hidden truth now divinely revealed, but which is a supernatural element, still remains despite the revelation. My God, I like that. A supernatural element remains despite the revelation. When I look at that and I think about that, I don't care how much people have been teaching false revelation. A supernatural element remains on the true revelation. Oh, my God. Amen. It was always in Scripture. It was just hidden. The church was not teaching it. All the way back to what happened in the Garden of Eden, the church had stopped teaching it years ago. They gave us an apple. They gave us an apricot. They gave us every other fruit, but they did not give us adultery. All right, let's keep going. Scofield's notes. Number one, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. That's the one we're talking on now. Matthew 13, 3 to 50 says, now second mystery is the mystery of Israel's blindness during this age. Now this is Scofield notes. Why was Israel blind, during this age? And he's given a reference of Romans 11, 25. Now, praise the Lord. Some of the things just right there in the Bible. When Jesus even prayed, you know, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. He knew that Israel was blinded. And they were blinded so the Gentiles could see. But Scofield thought that was a mystery. No, that's just Scripture. That's not a mystery. Let's keep going. All right. Third, the mystery of the translation of the living saints at the end time of this age. Wait a minute. Now Scofield struck something. The mystery of the translation of the saints. Because, you know, the church then got away from teaching about the rapture. They don't understand it. And they even will tell you that the word rapture is not even in the Bible. When they say that, that means we don't have to teach it because it's not even in the Bible. It's not scriptural. Maybe the word rapture is not in the Bible. I give you that. But catching away is. And the Bible say the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice, and trump. How did God do that? Well, the prophet told us that Jesus does all three. So the prophet brought the revelation of how the rapture is supposed to take place. It's right there in the message. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. So Scofield got something there. But Scofield didn't hear the prophet actually explain it. Maybe he would have put that in his notes. You know, he'd already wrote it before the prophet come, but that's okay. Amen. Listen, the third mystery is the mystery of the translation of the living saints at the end time of this age. First Corinthians 15 and also Thessalonians 4:14 through 17. The fourth mystery of the New Testament church is one body composed of both Jews and Gentiles. Ephesians 3:1-11, Romans 16:25, and also Ephesians 6:19, Colossians 4:3. He uses scripture to support, you know, where he's getting his thoughts from. The fifth mystery of the church as the bride of Christ, Ephesians 5:28-32. The sixth mystery is of the living Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, Scofield caught that, but I don't know if he saw it manifested. Hey, glory to God. Galatians 2:20 and Hebrews 13:8 and many places like that. The seventh mystery is of God, even Christ as the incarnate fullness of the Godhead embodied in whom all divine wisdom and godliness is restored to man. Ninth mystery is a mystery of iniquity found in 2 Thessalonians and so forth. The tenth mystery is of the seven stars of Revelation 1:20. Look at Scofield. He want to know who these seven stars are. He couldn't tell you who they were, but he knew that was there as a mystery. Well, God sent a prophet, and he told us who each star was. Yes, my God. Amen. So it's no longer a mystery anymore. People picking up the Scofield and not able to interpret what the mystery is. We pick up the Scofield and we can tell you, Paul, Arrhenius, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, William Branham. I gave this, I gave that to a brother. He was working for Kinko's at the time. And I gave that to the brother. I said, would you just, make this for the church. Just blow this up. I took the picture out of the church age book. If you look in your church age book, Brother Branham blows it up. He doesn't put Branham there. He puts Elijah. And some people just leave it blank. Well, this brother, when he came back and brought it back, said, now, and I don't think I even put it. I don't know if I put Elijah or anything there. I just gave him to him just blow it up. When I got it back, it had Branham there. He caught it by revelation. Who was that seventh angel? That seventh star. Glory to God. And we know by revelation who the seventh angel. Schofield was looking for it. Schofield said, it's a mystery that got to be revealed. It has been. Let's keep going. I'm just trying to get somewhere here today, and I'm not making much progress. But he said the tenth mystery, the mystery of the seven stars, Revelation 1:20. Brother Branham said we've just been through that. The seven stars of the seven churches, the seven messengers, and so forth. It says the 11th mystery is mystery Babylon, the prostitute, Revelation 17:5-7. Now here. Schofield identifies in his Bible that the Catholic Church is Revelation 17, fulfilling Revelation 17, Revelation 18. The Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church is the angel said, yelled out, come out of her, my people. The Catholic Church, all her dogmas and everything else that she had. And now we are in a season where the Protestant churches are all going back. Now we'd be considered Protestant. But we're not considered all that's going back. We're not going back to the Catholic Church. We're going back to the Word. Oh, glory. All right. Let me keep going. He goes on. Look at what the prophet says. That's some of the mysteries that this angel is supposed to wind up. All the mysteries of God. That's Revelation 10:7. And the other, may I say this with reverence and not referring to myself, but referring to the angel of God, the serpent seed, that's been a hidden mystery all through the years. See how he injected that? Oh, my. The grace straightened out, not disgrace, but real true grace. No such thing as eternal burning hell. You can't tell nobody they're going to go to hell and burn eternally. You just lied. Hell was created. And anything created cannot be eternal. Oh, my. That's why Brother Branham said he couldn't believe in eternal sonship. Right? Because the son was born. It came out of God. Now, praise God. Now, we realize that with him coming out of God and going back to God, there was an eternal quality about the son. And not only is there eternal quality about the son, there's an eternal quality about you. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. I know who I am. He said, the grace straightened out, not disgrace, but real true grace. No such thing as an eternal burning hell. You'll burn for millions of years, but anything that was eternal had never a beginning or end, and hell was created. All these mysteries. Says the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. Now, you know, there's a new one going out that you got to have sensation when you get the Holy Ghost. But Brother Branham said you can have it without sensation. Now, you know, just hold on to that. I'm going to give you a quick example. You know, that's why I could appreciate what Brother Juan, you know, was saying just a few weeks ago and everything like that. But you all remember there was a brother that showed up at Brother Branham's church. You can pull it down. He showed up and he was wondering about whether he had the Holy Ghost. And he had there was a situation where his wife was going to church. He wasn't going. And he had a little card that he had, you know, and he was selling a car, had this little card in his pocket like this, and a guy gave it to him, just witnessing to him, gave him a little card, and he put it in his pocket, like his jacket pocket, and one day he happened to look in that jacket pocket, and he just pulled the card out, and the card said, where will you spend eternity? I thought about it. I said, man, where will I spend eternity? I said, man, I ain't never thought about it. I said, man, I need to get my life right. So he says, start going to church. And start going to church with his wife. And, man, he just got completely sold out. Doing, you know, just completely sold out to what was going on there. And as he was there, he began to praise, seeking God. He wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So they say, well, you come on and you do this and you have the Holy Ghost. I think it was, you know, I think it might have been jump or something like that. And you had the Holy Ghost, you know, just whatever they told him to do. He did it. And he said, man, I felt like I just still didn't have it. After that, he said he went to amongst another group, and they told him to shout. Just shout, you know. I mean, Joshua bid you to shout, just shout. You know, he just starts shouting. To say he didn't feel like he had the Holy Ghost. Then he got amongst the Pentecostals and said, oh, we know what your problem is. You ain't spoken tongues yet. What you need to do is speak in tongues. Oh, my God. So he said, they start beating him on the back, He just starts speaking in tongues. He said, I spoke in tongues, and I still feel like I ain't have nothing. So they say, well, maybe you got some sin in your life, and what you need to go is see a prophet. Brother Branham got a gift. He can tell you what done happened in your life, and that he'll find it, and he'll tell you what you need to do to get the Holy Ghost. So Brother Branham's sitting there talking to the man. He just went through his whole story. He said, brother, they told me to see you, that you got a prophet. Maybe you can tell me what I've done in my life that might be stopping me from getting the Holy Ghost. Maybe you can share it with me. You know, I'm just so open. I just want to know what's stopping me from getting the Holy Ghost. He said, now, brother, you said that you were moving in this direction while you were selling cars. You were doing this, that, and the other. You weren't even thinking about the Lord. And but then you looked down at a card, and it said, where will you spend eternity? He said, yeah, that's exactly what happened. He said, that's when he came in. See, that was the Holy Ghost without sensation. He said, that's when he came in. And the man say, what? He say, that's when he came in. He say, I shouted and I jumped and I cried and I spoke in tongues. He said, was they wrong? He said, no, they had part of it right. He said, that's where the due ethic come in. He said, but that's when he came in. Say the man began to shout, the man began to jump, the man began to speak in tongues, everything right there on the spot when he caught a revelation. See, you can't be complete until you come into total truth. That's when you'll feel complete. But that was the Holy Ghost without sensation. Man, Brother Branham just broke that thing down. It's like, man, sometimes we've always built it on an emotion. We always built it on something. So now you know when things change in your life. You know that. And only you know. You know when you got real with God and when you was fake. You know. That's why Brother Branham said the Holy Ghost is an experience that you know. And if you don't know, then just seek God for the Holy Ghost. Right? But you know. And not only when you get it, you keep fueling it. Because you want baptism after baptism. Refilling after refilling. Amen. Your car can't just have one filling and just keep going for the rest of its life. Try it. Your car be on the side of the road because you refuse to put gas in it. Somebody else might come get it and use it. With a gas can. How you expect to be used by God if you won't get the refillings? I'm trying. All right. Let me go back. It was one thing that I'm trying to get here, and I'm gonna have to skip all this to get there. But I'm by God's grace we'll make some progress. So the prophet says this to the one of the other mysteries that Schofield didn't catch was the mystery of the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation, but the person of Christ performing in you the same works that he did. So the Holy Ghost is not just to come and make you speak in tongues, but the Holy Ghost is to come and make you perform the works of Christ, do the works of Christ, right? He said the spirit of Beethoven is in you. You write the music of Beethoven. If the spirit of John Dillinger was in you, you'd have guns shooting everybody. Say, but if the spirit of Jesus Christ is in you, it's going to make you live the life of Christ, make you act the life of Christ. That's what the spirit of God is supposed to make you do if you claim the spirit of God. And just please bear with me. This, you know, I had two conversations this week. It just gets me, you know, these things. Sometimes you'd be looking for God, and he'd just be right there in front of you, you know. But a young lady come to me, she was saying, you know, she was going, I was talking to her about the maze. And how in Christendom, people just going through the maze. They're trying to find this, trying to find that. So they get with this group and they go so far, hit a dead end. Then they back up and then they go so far with this other group, they hit a dead end. They back up. So I was just talking about just general terms like that. She finally caught it when she said, you know, I was going to church and I was talking to him. We had a Bible study. We got to talking about the gifts of the Spirit, talking about speaking in tongues. Say, I believe in speaking in tongues because I spoke in tongues. And she was telling me how, you know, somebody encouraged her, said, when you just got that anger built up in you, you just don't know what to say to God, just start speaking in tongues. Y'all just wait. Just bear with me. just when you get that anger in you, you just go to speaking in tongues. Just let it out. Because you can't express it in your own normal language. So just let it out, that anger. I just let her keep talking. Went to, that's the Pentecostal church that gave her that advice. Then she went to Baptist church. The Baptist church says, we don't believe in speaking in tongues. I said, wait a minute. Now the Bible actually said they spake in tongues. And I say now, you know, there's a middle of the road here that we got to get. And that, and this was, you know, I ran into a lady yesterday, and she was just telling me how she was just, they say, we believe in holiness. And man, she looked holy, boy. She dressed real nice, you know, looking holy. But she say, you know, we don't believe in speaking in tongues. So I ain't got that much time to talk because I know we would be in a conversation for a good while, probably to this time tomorrow, you know, talking about this. But I mean, I look at people that say that they don't believe in that, but the Bible says that it happened in the church, so we're supposed to believe in it. I said, but there's the middle of the road. I say the middle of the road is, you know, this church is telling you to speak in tongues when you get angry. That's not what the Bible say. The Bible say they speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Say, not when you get angry. That's you doing whatever you want to do. Spirit didn't give you no utterance. And how are you going to pray to God mad at God? You expect God to hear that? And they just they coaching them on the wrong stuff. You just can't go talk to God any kind of way and expect to get a result. Yes, sir, you got to have the right approach to God. I'm angry. Who are you? You angry? Well, get over it. All right? But, you know, but I said there's a middle of the road that we got to find. And what this message has done is brought us back to the middle of the road. Glory to God. Listen, Brother Branham says the mystery of baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation, but the person of Christ performing in you the same works that he did. The mystery of water baptism, where the extreme Trinitarianism has brought it into titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and the mystery of the Godhead being fulfilled in the baptism of the name of Jesus Christ. The mystery of the Godhead being fulfilled in the baptism of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the book of Revelations, that the church in this time was to receive. There is some of the mysteries. The pillar of fire returning back. Amen. That's the thing that's supposed to take place, and we see it. Oh, how we could go on naming the mysteries. All we know is that the Bible told us in Revelation 10:7 that in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, then the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So if we want to understand these things, it's best to go back and get a prophetic understanding of it. Then we know where we stand. Lord Jesus. Y'all just bear with me just for a few more minutes. Let me just share maybe one or two more things, and then I will try to break out of this. Amen. Just some statements that came out of Church Age book, and this is regarding the Godhead, and this is really where I want to go to today. Brother Branham said, today there's a gross error if it is that there are three gods instead of one. This revelation is given to John by Jesus himself corrects that error. It is not that there are three gods, but one God with three offices. There is one God with three titles, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. This mighty revelation is what the early church had, and it must be restored in this last day along with the correct formula of water baptism. Notice he also says this. If there were three persons in the Godhead, Abraham, the descendant of Shem, in Genesis 18, saw only one God with two angels. That's why he said, my Lord. If he wasn't three people then, he can't be three now. He says, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that's where people get it. But remember, if it wasn't three then, it can't be three now. So when say Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, I know that's what the Bible says, but God don't have a right hand like ours. This was a place of power and authority. Listen, it is not two gods, but simply one God manifesting his mighty triune offices and titles. One other thing that he said, they who believe in three persons have a three-God Godhead are guilty of breaking the first commandment. First commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We got to come back to the truth. Now, I want to just bring this in and then I'll get out today. Look at this. I had to go all kind of places to get this. Brother Nehemiah, let me use you for a second. Show that to the congregation. Now, this is a, what is this? What is it? It's a ruler. One ruler or three rulers? Open it up. Just pull the first one. Now what we got? Is it two rulers? Open it up, brother. What is it? He just opened it up two times. Did we have three rulers? One ruler. Right? So, Brother Branham said, when we're looking at the Trinity, say God is like a, he called it, God is like a 3-foot rule. God the Father. God the Son, God the Spirit. Now, it never changed. It was always one ruler. He just unfolded himself at different times in history to show who he was. It's always the same God. I didn't give you three rulers. It's one ruler, but just changing at different dispensations. So when he came in his son, Jesus, and I always tell people, it wasn't God sending his son. It was God becoming the son. That's why great is the mystery of godliness. That's why he went back up into heaven. That's why he came from God and went to God. He came from God. Right here, as God the Father, then he became God the Son. But Jesus said, I'm sending you a comforter. Open it up. Let us see the comforter. But it's always the same God all the time. And his whole purpose was that he could dwell inside of you. You can't give me no three gods. It's one God all the time. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So let me just read that quote for you. Now I'll come on out of here. Deep calleth unto the deep. Look at what he says here. Amen. 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 He like a 3-foot rule. I went all over the internet to get this for y'all. They don't have this no more. See, Brother Branham had that back in his school days. And they say it's like a 3-foot rule. It's just one ruler, but three sections. It's one God. But three offices. One God, multiple titles. It's always one God, though. Oh, my, my, my. And I just love the way he said he unfolded himself. He like that, but then he just opens up. That's why I say in the beginning, God created. Right? Or actually, you know, I'm coming home. I promise. Say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Right? But if you go back, I can't read it all today, but you go to Colossians and say Jesus did it. Well, how is Genesis going to say one thing, Colossians say something else? They had to be the same person, but what God was doing was unfolding himself. So when the Logos came out of God, he just unfolded himself. And when the Holy Spirit comes into you, he just unfolded himself. My hallelujah, church. Glory to God. Man, amen. All right, all right. Let's look at this. He says, if Jesus has risen from the dead, as he said, as we know he has, then he said he'd be with us. Says in all the way through the end of the world. That's right. Then he, if he is risen from the dead, he said, the things that I do shall you do also. He said he could do nothing except the Father showed him. In other words, God the Father was in the pillar of fire. That was God the Father. Then no one could touch him, not even Moses. Even if a beast touched the mountain, it had to be killed with a dart. You know the story. Well, then that was in the burning bush, a halo of fire, a pillar of fire. And then that pillar of fire come down and was made flesh among us. That's John 1. That pillar of fire came down and was made flesh among us. Listen, it says that same pillar of fire was God yet. Watch. And then when his son, when this son of God died, then his spirit came back into men, sinful men. See, that was a holy virgin born comeback. And that makes God like a 3-foot rule. See, the first 12 inches, God the Father. Second 12 inches, God the Son. Third 12 inches, God the Holy Spirit. That's the reason as we was commanded to baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But it's the same God, not three gods, which that'd be a heathen. Our God, but it's our God, one God. It's God unfolding himself down to man. And the reason he's doing that, so he can get down and live among men. Oh, my. Isn't he lovely? Now, he's done that so he can help you tonight. And hear me, a sinner like you, saved by grace, but God has unfolded himself down into mortal being. And that he could take through one and help another. Yeah, I couldn't heal you, but that's already did at Calvary. I couldn't forgive sins or heal sick. Nobody could. God did that. But now gifts are put in the church to point to that. Church, I rejoice over this. When we get the true revelation, amen, of who he is, I tell you what, it makes us overcomers, and there's not a thing that the devil can do to get us off this. We're part of the superstructure. One more quote here out of Hear Ye Him. I think it's the last one I got on that page. Hear Ye Him. The prophet says this. It says, now you see, Jesus had proven to God that he'd been the right kind of son. And God took him up on the top of the mountain, brought witnesses out there, heavenly witnesses and earthly witnesses. And he clothed him in immortality. When they looked up, they said his garments shine like the sun. A supernatural something taking place. His garments glistened like the sun in its middle of the day. As white as they could be, God placed on him that robe of immortality, showing that he had received him. That's the thing that God will do to his sons here on earth someday. He says he will call you aside, church. And if you'll only obey him and stay on the word and believe it, and he will place into the church before the coming of Jesus Christ, he will place into the church all the powers that Christ had in him will be in the church. All that God was, he poured into Jesus. And just think about that ruler, right? All God being that first part of the ruler, first 12 inches, then when he opens up, amen, the second part, he says all that God was, he poured into Jesus. So when he opens up, now the second part, all that Jesus was, he pours it into the church, the third part, right? All that Jesus was, he pours into the church. God wanting his work done. He sent it into his son. The son wanting the work done, sent it into the church. And at that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me at that day, because the same power of God was in Jehovah God, rested in Jesus Christ. The same power that rested in Jesus Christ rests in the place sons in the body of Christ. All I can say is amen. I'm so glad that we're standing on this. And like I said, we got to go back and just you know, revisit these things. We're not serving no three gods. It's one God. And I didn't get to it today. If I get a chance, I'll come back. Brother Branham said from Genesis to Revelation, that revelation has been there of one God. I want to walk you through scriptures. Just Genesis, it was this way. Isaiah, it was this way. Another scripture, it was that. I mean, I can't do it today. I can't get it all out in one sermon. But we're gonna get there. We're going to get there. I'm just trying to reestablish it, trying to bring people back to truth. Oh, yeah, we're going back. Not like all the other Protestants. We're going back to the Word. And if we can't agree on simple things like this, how are we going to have some unity? And I still believe that the Catholic Church is a great whore of revelation. The Pope is the man of sin, the Antichrist. I still believe that. That's why they separated, because they believe things like that. Right? But now, you ask people who the Antichrist is, they have no idea. Well, the whore had harlots. She had daughters. Amen. That's exactly what the Bible say. And her daughters are going back home. But I didn't come out from the Catholic Church. I come from God. And I'm going back to God. And Brother Branham said, there's going to be a lot of pressure put on us. He said, but Jesus comes at a time of trouble. I'm under expectation for a rapture because I'm standing on this word. Did Jesus come at a time of trouble for the Hebrew boys? Where were they? They were in the fire. But in the fire, they met the fourth man. Glory to God. So if we got to go through some fire, we're going to meet somebody. Praise God. And they weren't standing on the revelation that we got. They were standing on their own, but we got a little bit more than what they had, but we standing on it anyway. And I believe God going to meet us just like he met them. Praise God. Amen. They at least knew not to bow down to no false gods. Amen. They knew not to do that, and we not bowing either. No false god. They would, in some places, Brother Branham say that, you know, they'll even take your building from you. You won't even have a place to worship unless you're doing what they ask you to do. Now, I have to be careful when I say this, because if they took this place of worship from me, they didn't take my worship. They didn't take my worship. They might have took the place of worship from me. Now, while we still got a place of worship, come to church, because they ain't taking it from you. The devil taking it from you. Now, when they take it from you, we have to come up with some other, you know, alternatives. Praise God. But now while we still got a place to worship, let's come to church. Forsake not to assemble yourselves together as you see the day approaching. But wait till the day get here before you stop. All right, okay. Let's pray. Father, we are just so grateful for a truth that we could stand on. And God, these are things that we know, but sometimes it's so good just to kind of go back over it, just to reestablish, God, what you have called us to. And how your prophet is telling us that you're like a 3-foot rule. What a powerful example. We see it's just one God all the time unfolding himself until he finally gets to a spot where the God that was there at the beginning, that wasn't even God until he created angels to worship, but there were still things in him that were bottled up that needed to be expressed, still to be released. You want it to be a son. You want it to be a father. You want it to be a healer. You want it to be a deliverer. You want it to be a way maker, a promise keeper, light in the darkness. And God, we declare that is exactly who you are. We thank you, Lord, for every attribute that you have expressed to us. And God, as we walk with this word today, realizing that, you know, we might be some of the only ones on the earth holding to truth. But God, we're whole with everything we got. So, Lord, let the demonstration be something that sinks into our hearts, into our minds. And God, may it be something that we hold on to in this hour. No matter what the enemy offers and no matter what tricks he wants to play, God, we just want to hold to the word. So keep us, God, as our prayer. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Brother Troy, why don't you come close us out today?
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. How many appreciated the word? Amen. Let's lift the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Brother kind of caught me off guard. I finna go over there and strap up. Amen. But certainly the Lord did speak to us. It was wonderful. You know, I was just a couple of weeks ago kind of talking with a good friend of mine. And Lord is just dealing with his heart, and he's going to church and things, and I hear him say certain things, and I just try to be led when to break things open to him. I don't want to just choke him out. He's a babe in Christ. You know, you give a babe that strong meat, they go to looking at you sideways, thinking, man, what are you into? You know, so I just try to be led by the Lord on how much I give him, what I give him. And I just appreciate the word of the Lord, you know, just coming and breaking these things. It's just helped me polish things up so I can just kind of ease it to him, break off a little piece. You know, let the Holy Ghost feed them mouth to mouth. Amen. Just give him a little bit, there a little bit. Amen. Until he strengthen his wings. And one day, I believe God will be able to fly on his own. Amen. So as I was there, the Lord just gave me this little song. He was talking about going back. Let's sing that old Andre Crouch song, Take Me Back. Amen. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to a place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back to where I first was. Oh, take me back. Take me back to a place where I. Lord, I want to go back, Lord, where I first. Let's sing that again with all of our hearts. Take me back, Lord. Take me back. Where I first. Take me back. Take me back, Lord. Amen. Amen. I wish I was prepared and I would have had those verses. Amen, but here we go. Thank you, sister. To a place where I take me back. Oh, take me back to Lord, where I. drawing me. I must confess, Lord, I've been blessed, but yet my soul not satisfied. Renew my faith, restore my joy, my joy, and dry my weeping eyes. Church, help me say, take me back to the place where I first, take me back. Softly, amen. As we are prepared to leave this place, remember the Rudolph family in your prayers, amen. And we've seen the announcements, the address and things, and phone number. Just make yourself available, show real Christian love, amen. I know this is a real trying time. Amen. And they're going to need all the support. You know, that's one thing about the Tillman family. And we just kind of support one another. They've always been there for us. And they know we'll always be there for them. It's just something how just God put certain families. It's just bind us together. Just one big happy family. We love the Tillman family. They've just been there for so long. It's wonderful to see what God is doing. Be strong, Brother Kenny. God bless you. Real soldier. In spite of what the family's going through, he made it out of service today. I got encouraged when I saw that brother walk through the door. God bless you, brother. Be strong. You're a pillar of your family. Everybody's watching you. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just appreciate you, oh God, for the word, how you fed us, oh Father God. The truth shall set us free. Lord God, we just ask you, oh Father God, to help us, oh Father God, that we study, and Father God, and hide this word in our hearts, that at the right time, Lord, we may be able to explain it, express it. May we realize, oh Father God, that this word is you, Lord God. Lord God, and not just mishandle it and take it for granted, oh Father God, but Lord God, it's you as you pour yourself into us, Lord, and this revelation, oh Father God, of who you are and who we are. Lord God, just continue to bless us, oh Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for unfolding yourself, Lord. Revealing yourself to babes such as the learned, how you hid it from the wise and the prudent, Lord God. But Lord, these simple people here in this corner church, Lord God, you saw fit to come down and feed us mouth to mouth. Lord, we appreciate you, Lord. You didn't have to do it. You could have chosen anyone. But Lord God, your love, oh Lord God, just saw fit to come down, Lord. And Lord God, feed us, oh Lord God. Now, Lord God, may we just take, Lord God, as we all sticky and got this honey all over us, Lord God, just go out and, Lord God, let others sort of lick from us. Share this word. Share this wonderful truth. Lord God, we just ask these blessings, Lord. Look on our pastor. Strengthen him. Lord God, he put out so much, Lord, in his study and dedication. Lord God, just we ask you to just give him a special touch, Lord. Him and his family. Lord God, look on each and every one of every heart represented. Lord God, that we meet back here again at the appointed time under expectation. Lord God, to see a mighty, mighty move of you, Lord God. For you to express yourself in flesh again. Lord God, we ask these many blessings in Jesus' name. Because we have a revelation. We pray. Amen. As the brothers come. Amen. Amen. Remember Pinnacle Palms this evening. I'm sorry, in the combined service as well this evening. Pinnacle Palms at 5, it's not up there, but Pinnacle Palms at 5, I believe, and then the service at what time? At 5:30, Pinnacle Palms, and the service at 6:30. Amen.
That I first received, take me back, take me back to the Lord where I first received. Oh, take me back, take me back, take me back to the Lord, to the place where I first received. Take me back, take me back to where I first. Take me back, take me back where I first, oh, oh, where I first received. Where I first received.